In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson today. We read in the 9th chapter of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at verse 16. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make you full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God. The Apostle Paul continued in the action of Jesus' earlier apostles when it came to preaching Christ. Shortly after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Sanhedrin told Peter and John to stop preaching the gospel. Well, to that, these two old friends, fellow fishermen and brothers in Christ, told the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, as for us, we cannot help but speaking what we have seen and heard. The Apostle Paul, who like the other apostles, although later received God's word and the gospel directly by revelation from Jesus Christ, put it this way. I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Isn't this our privilege as well? Isn't it more than a privilege we have? Dare I say it is also our compulsion? Aren't we compelled to preach the gospel of Jesus? Don't we love to tell the story of Jesus and His love? We cannot help ourselves when it comes to the gospel. God has entrusted this treasure to us. We offer a gracious reward for a desperate need. The apostle whom God called to preach to the Gentiles was not carrying out God's call for personal gain. And he made this point perfectly clear to the Corinthians and to others, that he was preaching the gospel to them for one reason alone, that God had entrusted him or endowed him with this sacred trust. It is true that those who preach the gospel, those who serve the Lord in that way, are worthy of support and should be and need to be supported in that. But that's not why Paul was doing it. It wasn't even that he did not want to be indebted to them. He may very well have taken some support and some remuneration. which was certainly his right as an apostle. But he writes, if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Either way, if I preach the gospel without financial support, I still have a reward. And that reward is seeing the Holy Spirit add to the kingdom daily those who are being saved. I still have a reward, and that reward is that I am simply discharging the trust committed to me, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge. But then he adds, well, if I'm not doing it voluntarily, if I'm receiving some support, well, then I still have a reward, and that is that I'm not doing it for that, but I'm doing it because God has endowed me with his trust. I have the right for that support, he says, but I am not going to make full use of my rights. The Apostle Paul preached Jesus Christ crucified and risen again as our Savior from sin. Why? Because God had endowed him with this great trust. When it came to the gospel, he was compelled. There was nothing else that he could do but preach that gospel. The Apostle Paul was not the Corinthians' servant. Public preachers of the gospel, in a real sense, are not the servants of the people with whom we share the gospel. Our motivation, Paul's motivation, his compulsion to preach, came from the endowment of that sacred trust in the heart. It didn't come from the views and demands of the people to whom we preach. And there is some very practical application to that. There was application for Paul and application today for those who share the gospel. Those who believe, who share the gospel, that they are the servants of the people to whom they preach, can begin to think that they need to listen to those people about what they should preach. They're worried about their financial support. And so they say we must become men pleasers. We must become like hired hands and serve those people as if we belong to them. And let them tell us what we should preach. Or what we should not preach, rather than what God says. They might lay aside the truths of God's word and instead preach what people want to hear, rather than hear what God wants them to hear. Paul's example here is a good example for us today who preach the gospel. Be assured, I do not preach the gospel to you because of what I might gain. I don't preach the gospel to you because I'm worried about my financial support. I'm compelled to preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, because God has endowed me with that sacred trust to share with you his word, especially the revelation of your Savior Jesus. And woe to you if you don't love that gospel. Woe to you if you don't preach that gospel. Aren't you compelled also to preach the gospel? Yes. God has endowed you with that sacred trust as well. He has compelled you to tell the story of Jesus and his love. To not be pleasers of men, but to be servants of God and speak His word in its truth and in its purity. We are compelled, and woe to us, if we don't point people to the cross of Jesus Christ on Calvary and the empty tomb on Easter morning, by which God declares us and the world not guilty of our sins. We are compelled to preach the gospel as a congregation. Woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. God has endowed us collectively with His sacred trust. We don't preach to satisfy the beliefs and desires of human beings that are contrary to God's word. We don't preach the gospel for gain, even to gain new members. The goal of our preaching is not to gain new members. We are compelled to preach the gospel, and woe to us if we don't, because God has revealed to us and given us that sacred trust to share what God has revealed and what God says in His word. We don't preach to be popular, even with other Christians or with the world. We cannot help ourselves when it comes to the gospel. Woe to us if we don't preach the gospel. Because you and I have, as Paul had, a gracious reward for a desperate need. Paul says, I'm free to preach the gospel. And I'm going to preach it voluntarily so nobody thinks that I have ulterior motives. If I want to take some support and I need to take support, I'll do that because I have the right. But I'm not going to make use fully of those rights now. But when I share that gospel, I'm going to share it in love. That's why our sermon hymn this morning was about Christian love. Paul said, you know, I'm free to preach the gospel, but I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He said, to the Jews, I'm going to become more obvious in my Jewishness. And there Paul was talking about Jew as a nationality, so he could relate to fellow Jews as a descendant of Abraham. He said, I'm going to make myself like those under the law, even though I'm not under the law. I'm going to make myself like them so that I can relate to them. And here he's talking about the Jews who rejected Jesus but still felt that they had to follow the Old Testament covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Paul said, I know that I'm no longer under that. I know that that's been fulfilled in Christ. But when I approach those people who reject Christ and still follow that, I'm going to understand and approach them in the sense that they still are laboring under that old way, that they don't yet know that the new way has come. And then he said to those who don't have the law, that is the Gentiles, who didn't have the commandments but were a law unto themselves, he said, I'll become like a Gentile. I'll become one who follows their customs and does the things that they do. And he said, even though I still have the law, I'm still obedient to the law. And aren't we? We still use the law as a guide, don't we? Third use of the law. We still use the law as a curb and as a mirror. So Paul says, even though I have the law and use it, I'll become like those that don't have the law so that I can relate to them. Paul is really saying in Christian love, in concern for the souls of all sinners, I'm going to make myself a slave to them. Not that I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. Not that I'm going to give up my beliefs and what I know to be the truth to be popular. I'm not going to give up things to grow and get more followers, but I'm going to care about their souls. And I'm going to approach them in a way that is loving, so that I have that opportunity to share the gospel that I'm compelled to preach. And woe to me if I don't preach it. That wasn't going to make the gospel more attractive. It wasn't going to make people more receptive. But it was going to give Paul the opportunity to do what God had called him to do. And that's what we need to concentrate on in our personal evangelism, in our outreach as a congregation, to love lost souls. Not to approve of their sins like we don't approve of ours. Not to approve of false teaching, theirs or ours. But to love them, to care about them, and to approach them, to become weak, to win the weak. Paul's talking here about the new Christians who were still weak in their understanding and still needed to grow in what they knew about Christ and His work. Now, doesn't that describe you? Doesn't that describe me? Aren't we all weak in our understanding? Don't we all need to grow in our knowledge of what Jesus has done for us and the certain hope that we have as His children? Paul wrote, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Not that he had the power to do that himself, but by relating to them, by talking to them, he could give them the life-saving gospel. He said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. He wanted to share with others, and share with others in the blessings of Christ. We can't help ourselves when it comes to sharing the gospel. For all the people we meet, wherever they are, spiritually or culturally, we have a gracious reward for a desperate need. And that gracious reward is our Savior Jesus, dying for us on the cross, rising again for our justification, removing our sin and our guilt and our death from us. We all have great spiritual needs, and the gospel of Christ fulfills those needs, both in its narrow sense, as the preaching that Jesus is my Savior, but also in the broad sense, meaning God's Word in its entirety. How much all of us need to grow in our knowledge and strength in God's Word. So, join me in following the examples of Peter and John and Paul. When opposition confronts us or we see an opportunity, share the gospel with all. What else can we do? We're compelled to preach the gospel. And woe to us if we don't. Amen.